Yeah, I want to thank everyone who donated and came out and helped and man, got the word out. It was a lot of fun. We're gonna try to do that every year. So it was cool. We have a membership class that we offer throughout the year, and it's people who want to come and be members of New Life Fellowship and be a part of our church family. So they go through a class, and then they are recognized and approved by the church board. And I want to recognize those who went through the membership class. Haley, did Haley step out? Haley right there. Haley, Seth Hackney. Seth, are you here? Stand up. You got to stand up. Michelle Smith Hackney. And Amy Joe as well. And so be sure you get your certificates, because you're not officially going to heaven until you got one of these. And so, just kidding. Don't read into that. So, sorry. All right. Hey, let's pray, and we'll dive right into the Word of God. So, Lord, we thank you so much that we could come together and just worship you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and celebrate newness of life that these people have given their life to the Lord and walking in obedience by being baptized in water. And Lord, we just give you thanks for that. We praise you for that. And we pray that as we dive into your word, may your word come alive. May you speak, and may we walk according to what you're calling us to do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so Pastor Johanna mentioned that we're going to be in Psalm 23. So we're doing something very different than what I normally do. If you're part of New Life Fellowship, this is going to be totally new to you. If this is your first time, you're new anyway. So there you go. So I normally come up and we do a series, and I preach through a book of the Bible. Or a topic. We just completed a series called the I Am series, where we looked at the seven I Am statements in the Gospel of John. And we walk through all of those. Next Sunday, we're starting our Christmas season series, His Name Shall Be Called. And that's what we're going to walk through all the way up to Christmas Eve. So I had this Sunday that was kind of open this Sunday. And what I want to do today is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time with you, is to teach more than preach. Teach you how to read God's word and apply God's word in your life. One of the number one questions I get from people, it doesn't matter if they're new to church or new Christian or have been part of church for a long, long, long time, is how do you read the Bible? I just don't know how to read it. And there's a lot of reasons behind it. It's like, I don't read because I just don't understand it. It can be a bit confusing, so I don't understand it, and so therefore I don't read it. I don't read it because of I just don't have time, or I don't read because I just don't know where to start. Where do I start with that? I heard a pastor once say that he says, well, there's a guy that came to my church, and he said, Pastor, how I read the Bible is I just open up and I go close my eyes and I point. And whatever what I point to that day, I know that's what you have for me that day. Well, he did that, and he pointed, and it says, and Judas went and hung himself. And so I thought, well, that's probably not a good way to read God's word. You know, context matters. So that's not a healthy way to do it. And then, you know, do we start in Genesis? Do we start in the New Testament? Do we, you know, there's a lot of different things. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to have audience participation. It's not just you guys sitting up here looking at some bald dude say stuff. We're gonna have you participate in this and apply it. So if you have your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, there are I place Bibles, if the 9 a.m. didn't take them, I place Bibles all around you. You could pull out your phone and get a Bible app if you have the Bible app. Right now, if you don't have the Bible app on your phone, go to the App Store and download YouVersion, Y-O-U version Bible app. And we'll be using the ESV, which is the English Standard Version, is kind of what we're going to do. So we're going to walk through a passage of Scripture. It's a passage of Scripture that is very familiar to a lot of us, whether you're new to church or not. You've probably heard the Good Shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, Psalm 23. So we're going to be looking at that. But before we get into reading and showing you how to read the God's Word and applying God's Word, because we could take this, there was two ways I could have gone today, and I chose one over the other. One way is to look at, and I may come back and do this sometime, look at of why we could trust God's Word, why it's reliable, why we can hold on to it and trust it and believe that what it says, that because a lot of people says, well, I don't even know if the Bible is true, if how we can trust it. We have this class every Sunday. It's called the Next Steps class. And in that Next Steps class, we talk about how you can trust the Word of God, that how close the original manuscripts are to the next copied manuscripts. There's no writings in history that are that close. It's a reliable Word of God. And if you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls that were discovered in the, I think, the 50s or 60s, I can't remember, that the Dead Sea Scrolls are exactly Isaiah word for word, and it's found over 2,000 years later. And so God's Word is reliable. So, but I'm not going to go down on that path, but I may down. But what I'm going to do is just how to read it so you can get most out of the Word of God. Just think of David. David wrote this in Psalm 19. He wrote, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And then look at what he says about, and David is talking about the law. This isn't the New Testament. This is the law that he says. And he says in verse 10 and 11, "More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward." He's talking about God's commandments, God's law. He says, it is more valuable to him than gold and sweeter than honey. You see how valuable and precious David thought the Word of God was. And perhaps that's why God says, that's a man after my own heart. Even with all of his faults, he loved the Word of God. Think of Joshua. Joshua was the leader after Moses. And Joshua was going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And he was fearful of this. He was overwhelmed by this, of taking these people that for 40 years were just nothing but trouble to Moses. And now he's going to lead them in and fight the enemies. And God comes to Joshua in Joshua 1:8. And God says this, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." So, Joshua, do you want to be prosperous? Do you want success? Then have the book of the law close to you. Read it, meditate on it, think on it in all your ways. And then if you jump to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 4, it says this in 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul, of spirit, of joints, and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The word of God is alive. I don't know if you've ever read God's word and you've read it a bunch of times, and then you come back and all of a sudden you read the passage that you've read a bunch of times and it comes alive to you and you're like, dude, where did that come from? Because the Word of God is alive. It speaks to you right when you need it. This, just think about that. When I say Word of God, just let that sink in. That this is God's Word to us. God speaking to us through this. And a lot of times, this is sitting on a counter collecting dust. Right? So the Word of God is alive. It is active. Even Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, he says this. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." If you want to grow, if you want to be successful, if you want the peace of God and the strength of God and the hope of God, the nourishment of God, read the Word of God. Let it penetrate your heart and penetrate your soul. And so, like I said, we go back to the beginning. It's like, I don't know how to do it. I just don't know, because when I read, I'm confused. You know, what version do I read? I know the Apostle Paul used King James Version. Am I supposed to use that? You know, that was a joke. People are like, he did? No. So what version did I read? So what we're going to do is we're going to read God's Word together, and we're going to practice, and I'm going to share with you a method of how we can get the most out of it. So if you grabbed one of those Bibles and around you, and your Psalm 23 is on page 261. If you want to find it there, we'll have it up on the screen as well. So let's read Psalm 23, and then we'll dive into how to read Psalm 23. All right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many of you have ever heard that passage before? Okay, most of us have heard that passage at one point or another in our lives. So what we're going to do is we're going to use the acrostic called MAPS. Everybody say MAPS. MAPS stands for this. M stands for meditate. A stands for apply. P stands for pray. S stands for share. When you come and you read God's Word on a daily basis, have this thought process in your mind. Because the idea is not that you just sit down and read scriptures and you got through a passage of scripture. That's not the goal. The goal is that the scriptures get in you. That's the goal. So it's not about how much you read. It's about what God is saying to you. And a great way to do this is through this MAPS idea. So let's start with Psalm 23, and we're going to start with M, stands for meditate. This could also be, you could use memorize. Memorizing scripture is a great way to do thinking on scripture. But there's a difference of reading the scripture and meditating on scripture. We want a heart transformation. And so when we meditate on scripture, think on scripture, it changes our heart. So how many like to eat? Okay, you like to eat. You're looking forward to Thanksgiving dinner this week, right? So how many like steak? I love steak. You know, steak's great. So if you go and eat and you're hungry and you're in a hurry or whatever, and you go to Burger King, you go through the fast food restaurant or whatever, and you go through the drive-thru, you get a hamburger and whatever, it'll fix your hunger, right? But it's not delicious. You know, it's like, But if you go to like Texas Roadhouse, you get a T-bone steak, they say, "Would you like vegetables?" You say, "No." Like, why is that even a question? You know, how would you like to cook? You know, rare, medium rare, you know. And if you get it well done, man, we'll have altar. We have prayer partners available, you know. And so you sit down and you eat a steak and you, you know, baked potato and you just, you know, you're just enjoying the meal, right? Fast food is reading through the Bible. Got it done. Meditating is sitting. Let the Word of God just sit in your heart and soul. So questions to ask in meditating. Here's a couple questions. What stands out? What is God showing me? What truth is being revealed? What stands out? What is God showing me? And what truth is being revealed? This is about reflecting, not rushing. Okay? So right now, Psalm 23, you have the Bible open. You have the Bible app open. We'll put it up on the screen again. If you don't mind going back to Psalm 23, ask those questions. Just think about it. What stands out? What's God showing me? What truth is being revealed? And just begin to write those down on your paper that you have, or in your notes in your computer, on your phone. All right, so what stands out for me? The Lord is my shepherd means that God is personal, that he's present. I shall not want, that means to me that he's going to provide everything that I need. He restores my soul, that God brings rest to me. He brings healing to me. He brings a renewal of my spirit. What is he showing me? That when I walk through the valley, when I walk through dark times, he is ever present. He is real. He is with me. What is the truth that is being revealed to me? God always brings goodness and mercy to me. Whether in good times or bad times, I can rely on his mercy and his goodness, and that he is a good shepherd. Some other questions you might consider when studying God's word is like, who's writing this? Who's the author writing to? What are certain words that are spoken over and over? Like in this one, it's shepherd. Shepherd always comes up. Why does David use shepherd? And do a research on those things and just go deeper into it. So that's meditating. Don't just read it. Think it through. Then apply. A stands for apply. It's possible to meditate and memorize God's word, but also miss the word of God altogether. And so James, we say this every week. We say, we're not only want to be hearers of the word, we want to do what it says, right? Want to hear and do, hear and do. I did this wedding just Friday. I married this young couple that attends church here on Friday. And when somebody gets married, what they do is they make a vow to one another. A lot of times they'll share their own, exchange their own vows. And or I tell them, you know, do you promise to love them in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, keep you well, you know, these vows that you make. And I tried to emphasize to the couple that you're not just repeating vows, you're not just saying vows, you need to apply these vows. You are making a covenant between God and each other that you're promising to keep what you said, right? And marriages who promise to keep what they said, what they vowed, tend to last longer. And so what we want to do is take the word of God, what it says, not just hear it, but apply it. Do what it says. And so a couple questions. What we're looking for is when we're reading God's word, we're not looking for information, although that's good. We're looking for transformation. Transformation is better than information. The information should lead to transformation. You follow me? And so we want to be transformed by the word of God, not just, oh, I know the word of God. So ask, how do I live this out today? Is there a command to obey? Is there an attitude, an attitude in me that needs to change? Is there a promise to trust? Is there an example to follow? So scripture always leads to transformation, not just information. So, Psalm 23. How do I live this out? I need to trust God that he is my good shepherd. He is leading me in a good direction. I need to trust that leading. How does my attitude need to be changed? Okay, I need to go from fear to rest. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. I need to go to from fear to rest because I got to rely on the truth that he is my good shepherd. A promise to trust. To trust. The promise is he's with me. He's my shepherd. He's with me. An example to follow. A great example to follow is who wrote this? David. When did David write this? He wrote it when he was in the wilderness. And so when I'm in the wilderness, I could look to an example of David who was in the wilderness and wrote, the Lord, he's my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And so you look at it and say, man, that is an example for me when I am in the wilderness. So taking that in and apply it to my life. And then let's go to P. P stands for pray. Have you ever prayed for something or someone and it never came through? Anybody done that? Say, yeah, this morning, you know. And so you pray, but when you what happens is a lot of times when we pray, we're praying outside the will of God, outside of what God wants for our life. But when you pray the word of God, you're praying God's word back to him. So in essence, you can actually say, God, you said in your word this. So I'm going to take you at your word. And I'm praying this to you. And I'm believing this for my life because this is what you said in your word. So when you pray, because people also ask me, how do you pray? I don't know how to pray. How do I pray? So think of another acrostic, P-R-A-Y, pray. P stands for praise. R stands for repent, A stands for ask, Y stands for yield. So when you come and you pray, whether you're praying through the word or not, when you pray, have this thought process in your mind. God, I just praise you. I praise you for this day. I praise you that I'm out of bed. Hallelujah. You know, I praise you for this. I praise you for that. R, repent. God, search me and know me. Is there things in me that I need to repent of, that I need to confess to you? We should live in a, not that you're asking for salvation over and over again, but we should live in an attitude of repentance. Humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Ask. Ask for what you need. Ask for what God to move in your life. Ask for God to move in somebody else's life. And then yield to the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. I yield to whatever you want to do in my life. So taking this with Psalm 23, let's do it. How does this passage lead me to praise to God? Lord, I praise you, God, that you are the good shepherd. I praise you that you lead me and you guide me. I praise you that you give me new mercies, and those mercies are new every single day, and the goodness mercies will follow me all the days of my life. I give you praise for that. How does this passage lead me to repent? Lord, forgive me when I wander away from the path. Forgive me of those times where I don't trust in the good shepherd. Forgive me of wanting to do things on my own. Lead me back to your path. What does this passage lead me to ask for God in my life? Lord, I ask for your rod and your staff to comfort me. I ask for your abundance of mercy and goodness that you said will give me, will sustain me today. May your goodness and mercy, your rod and staff be with me today. Lord, I pray for in the face of my enemies. I pray that I will be confident that you're with me, that you actually prepare a table before me, that you're going to provide for my needs, even in the face of opposition. And how does this passage lead me to yield to God? Lord, I yield to your direction. If you are leading me through the valley, I yield to that leading. If you are leading me to green pastures, I yield to that leading. I trust in you. So let's pray that right now. Lord, would you bow your head in prayer? Lord, you are my shepherd. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for restoring my soul. When I walk through difficult valleys, remind me that you are with me. Forgive me when I do not trust you. Help me to trust in your guidance and let your goodness and your mercy follow me all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And then S stands for share. The purpose of reading the Bible is not an in and of itself with us, but it continues out of us into the lives of other people. I would encourage you to journal. when you're reading God's word, to have a journal with you and write down what God is speaking into your life. It's okay to write in your Bible. You're not going to go to hell because you wrote in your Bible. Highlight words, write in the margins. A lot of times when you're journaling, who you're going to share that with is you months or years from now. Because what will happen is you may be going through a difficult time and you can go back in your journal and say, oh, wait a minute, God spoke to me here and this is what I got out of it. And so you might be sharing with you your future you. But I would encourage you to share what God is speaking into your life with others. Share it with your spouse, share it with your kids, share it with coworkers, share the word of God. Look at these sharing ideas. I read Psalm 23 today, and God reminded me that he restores my soul. I learned that even when life is hard, God walks with me in every valley. Psalm 23 showed me that God provides what I truly, truly need. Just think of this. If you're a parent and you have kids at home, and God spoke to you in his word that day, you do your private time, you're reading God's word, and something spoke to you and really ministered to you, and you go to your 8-year-old child and say, you know what, Dane Jr., I was reading God's word, and I was feeling lonely, I was feeling depressed, I was feeling down, but I read that God is with me even in the valley. And Dane Jr., when you go to school today, if you get lonely, down, remember that God is with you in the valley. Man, that's teaching your kids practical examples of how you are being encouraged in the Word of God and showing them how they can be encouraged by the Word of God. You see it? Look at what God tells the people of Israel about the Word in Deuteronomy 6:6-9. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house and walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. God's word shall be alive and active in your home. God's word should be talked about. You should sit down and read the word of God to your children. Read it with your spouse. Have it a part of your life. It's living. It's active. It'll transform your life. A person at the end of their life, you look at the Bible, and if it's well used, it means they had a well life. If you find their Bible and it's sitting on a table and collecting dust, chances are they're the ones who got beat up. Okay, God's word sustains us, it helps us, it gives us life. Allow the word of God to move in our life. I'm going to invite the worship team up, and I'm going to share with you just real quick how to do this. Number one, have a plan. Have a plan. Have a plan. Do you hear what I'm saying? Have a plan, because you can't say, oh, I'm going to read God's word and not have a plan. What I mean by that is you're going to set aside, okay, every single day at 6 a.m. or at lunch or before I go to bed, I have set aside something in my schedule, a time in my schedule, where I'm going to read God's word, and you're basically making an appointment with God. God, here's my schedule. I'm putting you first, and I'm going to spend time reading your word. Have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're not going to do it. Spiritual habits or good habits are hard to start and easy to quit. Bad habits are easy to start and hard to quit. And so you got to have a plan. And then have a Bible. Get a Bible that you understand. I know King James is precious to many of you, but many of you have no idea what King James is talking about, because you don't talk that way. So find a Bible that a translation that makes sense to you. I like the ESV. I also like the New Living Translation. The NIV's good. Find about, there's different, you can do a research and find out which Bible is, there's word for word translations. The ESV, what we use, is a word for word translation. That's why I like it. New King James is a word for word. King James is a word for word. Then there's phrases, translations by phrases. I think the NIV is a translation by phrase, which simply means like this. Word for word is, the Lord is my shepherd. You would go, the, Lord, Lord, is. That's a word by word translation. A phrase by phrase is, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You see? And so that's really the difference. And then there's paraphrase translations. A paraphrase is not a word for word. It's the author's opinion of how it should be doing. Paraphrases are fun, but they're not the best. And so do that. So have a Bible. And then have a goal. When Bev and I, we read the Bible together every morning, and we decided this year we're going to read the Bible through in 1 year. And that YouVersion Bible app that I asked you to download has a Bible in a year. And we did the one with the Bible Project. How many have ever heard of the Bible Project? A few of you have. Look up the Bible Project. It is awesome. And what we like about it is we did a Bible in a year through the Bible Project. And that Bible Project does this little video explaining the book before you read the book. And it's awesome. It's cartoonish, so my brain gets it. Oh yeah, I get it. So it's really, really, really well done. And so if you're looking for a Bible in a year, starting in January, that's a good, or start now. You know, you don't have to start in January. Start now. And so so that's a goal. Have a goal in mind. I want to read through just read one chapter a day. Proverbs, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So you can read a proverb every single day of the month, right? So today is what? November 23rd. So Proverbs 23. And you just read, you can read through the Proverbs 12 times in a year. So have a goal. And then I said, keep a journal on hand. Have that part of your life writing down what God's speaking to you. Keep a journal on hand with you. So we're gonna close out today with this song, Jesus is Worthy of It All. It's one of my favorite songs that we do here at New Life. It's just an amazing song. The Bible points to Jesus. It points to Him. We were lost, but He found us. We were dead, but He raised us to life. Jesus has come, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world may be saved through Him. Oh, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So we read to learn about Him. And so we're going to close our time today of just saying, oh, You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. I worship You. So would you stand with me? And I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you open your hands just like this? Open your hands like this. I know not. Just say with me, Holy Spirit, come right now. Would you say that with me? Holy Spirit, come.